Broadcasting live from the supply chain capital of the country, Atlanta, Georgia, Supply Chain Now Radio spotlights the best in all things supply chain. The people, the companies, the technologies, the best practices, and the critical issues of the day. Now, here are your hosts.
This episode of Supply Chain Now Radio is brought to you by Apex Atlanta, an association for supply chain management organization. Apex Atlanta provides supply chain thought leadership, networking, and certification opportunities for supply chain professionals. In 2017, Apex Atlanta partnered with Georgia Tech's Supply Chain and Logistics Institute to deliver a CSCP and CLTD boot camp a couple times a year. The boot camps are 2.5 days each and designed to help jumpstart your individual learning pursuits and point you in the right direction to passing the certification exams. But not every person takes the exams. Some take the boot camps as part of the Management Certificate Series from Georgia Tech's SCNL Institute. In 2019, boot camps are offered in June and October. So what is CSCP and CLTD? CSCP stands for Certified Supply Chain Professional and provides a high-level overview of the complete supply chain. Learning topics include supply chain design, supply chain planning and execution, and supply chain improvements and best practices. Supply chain design addresses the concepts and strategies used for developing a supply chain strategy, aligning with business goals and corporate strategy, basic strategy tools, and techniques for implementation. Supply chain planning and execution addresses core supply chain processes, including reverse logistics, procuring and delivering goods and services, scheduling and logistics of executing plans, managing demand and supply, and waste management. And supply chain improvements and best practices covers managing and balancing supply and demand through measuring, analyzing, and improving supply chain processes. The next certification, CLTD, stands for Certified in Logistics, Transportation, and Distribution, and focuses on the outbound side of the supply chain. Example learning topics include logistics and supply chain overview, order, inventory, warehouse, and transportation management, global logistics considerations, logistics network design, and reverse logistics and sustainability. Apex Atlanta also offers certification workshops for companies who may be investing in professional development initiatives. These workshops are typically offered at the company site, making it easier for employees to work it into their already busy schedules. The workshops are also a great part of team building programs. For more information on the workshops, the certifications, or area networking opportunities, check out apexatlanta.org or send a note to info@apexatlanta.org.
All right. Good morning, Scott Luton here with you live on Supply Chain Now Radio. And today we're broadcasting live from one of the leading accounting firms in Atlanta, HLB Gross Collins, who, believe it or not, has been helping businesses and individuals increase profitability for over 50 years. Glad to be hosted here with some great partners. Our Supply Chain Now Radio team has been busy in recent weeks with trade shows, webinars, lots of interviews with the movers and makers across the supply chain world. And today I'm pleased to share that we're going to be continuing that trend. This morning I'm joined by my co-host, Elba Pareja Gallagher, Director of Finance with UPS, President and Founder of Show Me 50, and Chair of the Apex Atlanta Gender Gap Task Force. Hello, Elba.
Good morning.
And, you know, a little bit of Murphy's Law, a little curveball thrown at us this morning, right? We are in the world supply chain. So to our audience, sorry, we are starting about 22 minutes late. Murphy's Law and our technology solution was alive and well. Completely my fault, not our outstanding hosts. But glad you're joining us if you are tuned in live. So, Elba, how are you doing this morning?
I am doing great, and I love this facility. The room that we're in, you can't see it out there, but we have got this amazing, beautiful view off the 10th floor of Atlanta downtown. It's gorgeous.
It is gorgeous, and it was a nice, crisp, beautiful morning this morning as well. So last time we were together, Elba, you were sharing with the Supply Chain Radio community your leadership lessons learned from 2018. Can you believe that we've heard incredible feedback from dozens of folks on your content that you shared from really coast to coast?
That's so awesome. Leadership is a great topic. I mean, especially at the beginning of the year, we're trying to imagine what our year's going to look like. We have big ambitions and goals, and so it's a great time to refresh our strategies. And it was a great talk, and that's available right through Apex.
Absolutely. You can find that on iTunes, SoundCloud, supplychainnowradio.com, you name it. And it's a timeless topic. And I would argue that in 2019, there's no greater need for leadership at home and abroad. So we're gonna dive in more today on trade, taxes, and tribulations, which also we're going to need plenty of leadership there. Trade, taxes, and tribulations. Oh, my. That reminds me of Golden Brick Road, right?
Yeah.
So this is going to be neat. But Elba, we've got three incredible featured guests with us here this morning, sitting across the table from us, also with a fantastic view. First off, we want to introduce Kathy Morrow Robertson, founder and head analyst of Logistics Trends and Insights LLC. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. How are y'all?
We are fantastic. Glad you are here, and glad we have tackled that curveball from earlier. So thanks for your patience.
Well, no problem. Thank you for inviting me.
You bet. Glad to have you. Next up, we have Laura Matajewski, manufacturing and distribution practice leader and principal at HLB Gross Collins. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, Scott. How are you?
We're doing fantastic. Good. I think we've seen each other a couple times this week. We were at the 11th anniversary of the Georgia Manufacturing Alliance earlier this week, which I know you are big supporters of.
Yes, we are. Yeah, we're fortunate enough to lead the Cobb chapter for that. I lead that initiative there, and it was a phenomenal event. I think seeing all the new faces of manufacturers in there and really just getting to reinvigorate the spirit for 2019 was fantastic.
I'm with you. Jason Moss does a great job, and Marjorie Dykes, of course, supporting the Georgia manufacturing industry. And you're joined by your colleague, Ileana Malinov, Director of Tax Services and the International Practice Leader at HLB Gross Collins.
That's a mouthful. Good morning,
good
everybody.
Morning.
Thank you for having me.
I bet you've got several plates full with a role like that, huh?
There's a lot of change going on in both of the arenas. So, yes, it's an exciting time to be in public accounting, if you can believe it.
Well, you know, I think the interesting thing is, and Laura and I were chatting just kind of pre-show here, that and with your role, you're kind of illustrating, y'all help folks locally, you help folks nationally, and, of course, you help folks internationally as well. So that is a great aspect to our conversation we're going to be having today, right? Global trade, tariffs, and tribulations. Oh, my.
Right? That's right.
All right, come on, we're going to get it. All right, so with all that said, so welcome again, Kathy, Laura, and Ileana. We're going to dive right in and start with our top things to know in supply chain now, which we always do. So, Elba, you're going to lead off. Tell us about what's going on specifically with China this upcoming week.
Wow, there is so much going on in trade. Definitely China. You know, I did a little preparation and reading up. We really need to get our act together on what's coming up, right? So some headlines here. We've got the truce that has been declared on the trade wars. I Googled this, right? What is trade war? It's an economic conflict resulting from extreme protectionism in which states raise or create tariffs or other trade barriers against each other. So we are in an economic conflict. And we have until, looks like here, 12:01 a.m. on March 2nd for China and the U.S. to make some agreements, and we'll see what happens. I read about there were some trade associations, over 200 trade associations spanning all industries that are collaborating on something called Tariffs Hurt the Heartland, and they're on Capitol Hill really trying to influence lawmakers to get a move on and try to prevent a lot of the negativity that's going to happen from this.
Already has happened, right?
Yeah, it has happened, right? You know, this one organization put together an impact statement on the dollar values that are at stake here in terms of the annual impact on GDP, you know, a point, and also, this was interesting, the impact on a family of four for a year, $2,300.
Wow.
And loss of jobs, 2.2 million jobs are attributed to what's going to happen. So definitely looking in the news this week, there's going to be a lot of talk on the Chinese trade and what's going to happen. The key is we don't want the tariffs to go from their current 10% to 25% on these Chinese imports. So we'll see where that goes. Another headline, which I think is really interesting, there's a lot of talk of China, but there's also thoughts that there's going to be some European trade issues coming up, particularly around cars. So lots going on.
Yeah, lots going on. And I know we'll talk more about this in a moment, but it's tough to find a winner in trade wars. So hopefully we can negotiate our way through and give businesses the clarity and what to expect in the months ahead. So we'll see what happens. And we'll get our experts and guests to weigh in on that here momentarily. So I want to share a couple of things when we think about top things known in supply chain now. So let's talk peak season 2018. So many firms are currently analyzing performance, lessons learned from this last peak season. So according to the logistics market snapshot, which many of y'all get, raise your hand. Everybody's raising their hand in the room. great snapshot provided by the Georgia Centers of Innovation for Logistics, which is an incredible, not secret weapon, but big weapon in making business happen and supply chain business happen in this state. So FedEx, UPS, and the Postal Service were all above 97% with on-time deliveries in peak season 2018, which is pretty interesting. Better than I expected, especially across all three of those platforms. The Postal Service posted the best on-time delivery rate in peak season 2018 with 98.8% of parcel select deliveries made on time, followed closely by UPS at 98.3% and FedEx at 97.6%. So all three carriers, when we look at performance year over year, made improvements, right? However, UPS, our friends headquartered right here in Supply Chain City, improved its on-time rate the most, up 3% over 2017 peak season on time. The other two carriers did not even improve by 1%. So UPS clearly is making a huge investment, people, technology, process improvement, you name it, and it's showing in peak season.
Yeah, and definitely, you know, we had our earnings call and our leadership, our CEO and our COO definitely talked about the awesome performance in terms of our service levels for our customers.
And you know, you should. That's we all know the challenges of peak season, and to see that type of dedication and that kind of 3% is such a massive, massive figure. I'd love to get some context behind that. Maybe Malcolm and the research team can give that to us. But you know, big investment, and looking forward to kind of see how that plays out the rest of the year. Should also note ShipMatrix and Supply Chain Dive both contributed data to that reporting in the logistics market snapshot. Now, for fear of making this sound like a UPS commercial, we gotta give them another hug here. So I'm very pleased to announce that UPS has recently chosen to serve as host sponsor for the 2019 Atlanta Supply Chain Awards. So huge thanks to the UPS team, especially Tendrea Bellamy, for their generosity. First year awards programs off to a flying start. We've enjoyed a variety of big time support from a number of leaders across the metro Atlanta area. In fact, we're sitting with two members of the esteemed judging committee. Elba and Kathy here both are serving on our panel of judges, which includes seven leaders from across industry. So big thanks to both of y'all for your leadership and your volunteerism.
Of course.
To our audience. So again, big hug to UPS. Really appreciate what they do. This is for a first year event. We all know that's an interesting value proposition. You know, it's a gamble for anyone, and not whether it's a supply chain awards or whether it's, you know, some other conference, but really appreciate that commitment as we look to spotlight success across end-to-end supply chain. So to our audience, limited seating is still available for the luncheon on March 12th. The awards going to be held at the Buckhead Club over a luncheon. They're going to be announced there. And to register, check that out at AtlantaSupplyChainAwards.com, presented by your friends at Apex Atlanta, CSC&P Atlanta Roundtable, and the Metro Atlanta Chamber. All right, so that's a lot of information to lead off with. But we got some meatier topics to dive into, Elba. So today, to our audience, we've got two segments of this show, and it's going to fall all under all up under the theme of trade taxes and tribulations. So up first, but we're going to have expert insight and perspective on the current industry environment, right? And then we're going to, as part of that, we're going to dive into hot topics, trade, tariffs, and the B word, which is all together now.
Brexit.
There we go. Close. All right. We'll try that again later. And then secondly, in the second half of the show, which I think is really neat, kind of how we've put this together, we're going to focus on our tax strategy experts, which are going to offer tips and tricks for adding margin to your bottom line and while protecting the current margin, which is important, with a big emphasis on what you should be doing for your business in 2019. So with that said, Elba, let's get started. I'm going to pass the football to you, but we want to bring Kathy Morrow Robertson back in the show and let's talk trade.
Yeah, this is, I'm super excited because Kathy has such a vast amount of knowledge and expertise and has worked with so many customers and really understands the field. So I'm thrilled to have her join us. And Kathy, you know, let's start out. I'd like to learn a little bit more about your business. Tell us about your consulting work and what you're doing in your space.
Sure. Okay, so I started Logistics Trends and Insights. It'll be 4 years come this August. Yay. And what it is, it's a market research company that's focused on the logistics industry. And what we do is anywhere from competitive analysis, market analysis, due diligence on mergers and acquisitions, you name it, we will do it as long as there's market research involved. My background is I was formerly with UPS for a number of years, part of the team that helped to start Supply Chain Solutions. So I was always on that side of a UPS. And I come from the freight forwarding. I've worked a lot in the freight forwarding side. So that's where a lot of my emphasis is with my company. But with that being said, I also do a lot with shippers as well. So helping with strategy development, particularly in this type of environment that's going on. A lot of change.
Yeah. Speaking of change, what are you seeing in terms of trade and how, you know, how are your customers and what's the industry facing when it comes to the trade situation?
The trade keeps changing. You know, for a number of years, it's always been about globalization. Globalization is where supply chains were extending around the world. Now it seems like there's been more of a focus, kind of a retrenchment, regionalization. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of politics is playing more and more of a role. It's protectionism and such, which is putting into question a lot of the free trade agreements that are out there. You know, NAFTA is now not NAFTA.
That's right. By NAFTA, it's now called USMCA. U.S., Mexico, Canada.
There you go.
So we got to learn new acronyms.
Gosh, yeah. And I was just getting used to NAFTA after 20-something years.
Add that to the board here.
Exactly.
You know, all of this is, there's a lot of uncertainty. And,
exactly.
And again, Davos just mm-hmm. happened. You know, you had all the executives and the UPS CEO was there. And I watched an interview with CNBC and he talked about how there's just so much uncertainty. Businesses don't like uncertainty, right?
No, they don't. And if you think about it, with the supply chain, it's, you know, we talk about agility, you know, making your supply chain agile. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to when the book keeps changing on you. And in fact, that's what one of my clients said was, you know, we're trying to abide by all the rules and regulations from the U.S. government, but the book keeps changing every time we turn around. So it's that uncertainty that's just causing a lot of angst.
Yeah. And in terms of sort of the outlook, you know, what are you hearing about trade growth?
Well, an interesting statistic from the World Trade Organization, you know, about a year ago, they were projecting like a 4.7% increase in world trade. And now they've gone back on that. They've reduced it to, I believe, what, 3.7%, somewhere around mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. They'll probably end up reducing it a little further as we go further into this year if things don't change. So,
yeah. So
yeah,
we've gotta...
it's crazy.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Looks like technology, though, is helping, right? Technology is accelerating to you know, facilitate more communication and help smaller
technology
firms.
I think is kind of changing the whole global aspect, particularly like with e-commerce mm-hmm. playing into this field, cross-border and such.
You know, speaking of e-commerce, we spent a little time with Matt Markham on Wednesday, and in doing so, we were talking a lot about the import strategy that not just Georgia, but other mm-hmm. states and markets are using. And I never made that connection to, you know, a lot of the growth that we're finding with inland port system. And the information I read was really focused on the 12 key inland port markets around the country. E-commerce and that growth there is really one of the biggest drivers of the inland port strategy. Is that what you've also found?
It is. And it's not necessarily just B2C. It's also B2B. A lot of companies are digitizing, so to speak, their operations, moving everything online, which, you know, as a result, things are moving faster. And a lot of that is small package related as well. So, yes, definitely.
Are you seeing any particular industries that are more sort of impacted than others?
I think all industries are, are being impacted. I think, you know, we've heard a lot about the automotive industry, you know, the changes that are going on that, particularly with the NAFTA. And I'm sorry, I keep forgetting the, we should write down the name.
USMCA.
I'm calling it NAFTA 2.0.
There you go.
I have heard it called that as well.
Yeah, okay. So, you know, with our current environment, there's an encouragement to keep all the manufacturing here in the U.S., bringing more manufacturing into the U.S. However, that's easier said than done, because particularly when it comes to the automotive industry, a lot of that manufacturing has moved into Mexico to lower labor cost and such. I mean, the trade has been great. It's benefited both countries. However, we have a political push, to put it nicely.
Yes.
To bring it back.
We like putting things nicely.
I know.
And that's very hard for me to do, especially on a Saturday morning.
Yeah, Supply Chain Now Radio is very neutral, right?
Yeah. There we go. Thank you, Elba. Yes.
You know, on the autos, I was surprised to learn that there's European tax threats coming, right? So there's they're talking about likely to put a 25% tariff on European imports. Yeah, so
that's
for those
scary
of us who like our European cars.
Exactly. And think about it. I mean, we've got the BMW facility in South Carolina, and just imagine how that will affect imports, as well as the Volkswagen plant up in Chattanooga.
Switching gears, what about Brexit? That's an interesting topic.
Can we try saying that all together one more time?
Okay.
One, two, three.
Brexit.
There we go. Perfect.
Right. Is there going to be an exit? Is there not going to be an exit? It's, you know, more tribulations.
angst, tribulation. Yeah. Who knows? Who knows? I mean, this goes back to 2016 when the UK voted to leave. And then I believe the UK government finally triggered Article 50 in 2017, which gave them 2 years to negotiate with the EU a plan that everyone's in agreement with. And we're still
here. We are 2019, right? Ileana, you have some experience with international. What are your thoughts?
So we generally talk a lot with our member firms from HOB International, who are located in Europe, and this is a hot topic for all of them. And we get to see the perspective of our UK member firms, and we get to hear the perspective of the rest of Europe. And, you know, it is kind of refreshing to see that uncertainty is not an American trademark, because I do hear a lot from them regarding the uncertainty that the U.S. is generating in the world. Brexit, I think, is coming right up on par with that. There's a lot of concern about value-added tax, global mobility of employees. What is going to happen if they magically pull off all of the documentation and start the process of separating?
And the operative word there is magically, right, Ileana?
I think so. Some Harry Potter magic is needed.
Yeah.
And Kathy, you mentioned a little bit, we talked about e-commerce, even big names, right? So what's Amazon doing with this whole Brexit?
Now, that was really interesting. Amazon is telling their third-party sellers on their platform to start moving their goods into warehouses in within the EU because of the uncertainty.
Wow.
I mean, you know, it's interesting because there's still, with just a little over a month to go before Brexit occurs, there is no plan in place from the government. And so companies are having to take matters into their own hands. And it's not cheap by any means. Pfizer has come out and said that it's costing them a good $100 million or more.
And another name I heard, Honda.
Exactly. So Honda's plan is that first week or so after the Brexit, they're shutting their facility, which is located in Swindon. They're shutting it down just to let things settle down before they restart.
Yeah, and just the financial markets and the implication to banking and
exactly. A lot of them are already moving their offices into Germany and other locations. So, yeah.
So, but back to, you know, opportunities for public accounting, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. We are very happy over here.
I don't know if happy is the right word, but Accountants Employment Act has been put in multiple connotations in the past 12 months.
Absolutely, yes.
And meanwhile, the logistics companies are all scratching their heads like, and the shippers, you know, without a plan, an agreed upon plan on what to do with the customs union and it's such.
You know, I think about the harmonized tariff schedules around the world, right? How can you imagine having to keep up with, you know, and businesses who use those schedules to determine rates and taxes? Mm. And
yeah, it's going to be crazy, because if there isn't an agreement, if it's a hard Brexit, then your trade's going to resort back to using WTO plans. And so that may benefit some industries, and it may not benefit others.
Mm-hmm. So not specifically speaking to Brexit, but just in general tariffs and negotiations that we were talking about earlier, I had lunch with a global manufacturer yesterday, and they ship products around the world, right? And we were talking, he's in supply chain, and he was telling me about how initially they had issued price increase notifications to their customers, and then with the 90-day trade truce, they communicated that those price increases were on hold, and now as we're approaching the March time frame, they're kind of trying to figure out what's next, what they can communicate next. So it's like they're in this no person's land to figure out what to do and while making sure that the business is protected, right? Because ultimately that's, you got to do that, you know? So it's really that was just Friday, a little interesting conversation I had there. And, but I can only imagine how many, you know, hundreds of thousands of other business leaders are in a very similar, you know, state of affairs.
Yeah. And so talking about quantity, I'm looking at here, this is a table of all of the impacted lists of products. So for example, the U.S. tariffs on imports from China, there's three different lists. The first list has 818 products, another one 279 products, and list number three has 6,031 products that are going to be impacted with tariffs going from 10% to 25%.
Wow.
And it represents $165 billion just for that list. So think of, if you're running a business and you're having to deal with categorizing all this, it's just overwhelming.
It definitely. On top of the challenge that is supply chain already, right?
Mm-hmm.
Getting stuff at the right place, right time, right price. So we'll see what happens. And hopefully speaking of keeping our fingers and toes crossed, hopefully both Brexit and the whole tariff negotiation and that trade war comes to a very positive close. We'll see.
Yeah. We'll see. March 2nd.
March 2nd. So
at 12:01 a.m.
I know where I'll be.
Well, sadly, I'm supposed to be in England.
Oh, my gosh.
Really? Yeah.
So we'll see.
Okay. Well, you know what? You will have to give us a on-the-scene Supply Chain Radio update.
Live
update. Yeah, live update.
Wow.
That's right. We'll be in the news studio by then, right?
Yeah.
So, Elba, before we've got a big second half as well. Any you know, final thoughts on this kind of this front end, this landscape that is the global business world right now?
You know, I think that we're going to have to be so closely connected to the news, to industry reports, also getting help from hearing what the larger organizations are doing. You know, they're usually kind of ahead of the curve. You know, you got to know what's going on and plan your own steps. But I think there is definitely a financial impact. We've heard all of the additional expenses that this can create. Being in finance, I know that you got to be alert and be ready. So we will have to address the profitability impact to our organizations and, be prepared.
Speaking of being ready, I mean, I can only imagine the, you know, CPA, accounting firms, the consultants, all these folks that have to learn this new landscape and these new rules, and then, consult and give good guidance that folks and firms can count on. So I'm not envious, Ileana and Laura, of y'all's roles. But before we move to that second half, so Brexit, which is a term no one has heard here in the history of mankind, right? But this single word has really dominated the scene for, at least since 2015-ish. I think it was the word of the year in 2016. But does anyone know who coined this word? Any guesses? Peter Wilding, chairman of British Influence, which I believe is a media organization. Kathy, you may know much better than I am. But do you think Peter is a fan or not a fan of the UK leaving the EU? Any guesses there?
Probably not a fan.
Not a fan. Not a fan. So he just did a, I'm not sure what publication it was in, but he just did that. Because a lot of folks they've heard of the term, they know what it is, what it refers to, but in terms of tracking it back to root cause, they did an interview with Peter this past week and kind of dove into his thoughts and where it originated, all that stuff. So I thought it was kind of neat, especially a term we hear just about hourly here. So we're going to be moving right along. So again, to our audience, we are broadcasting live today from our friends at HLB Gross Collins. I appreciate their hospitality. And really, we've teed this up under trade, taxes, and tribulations. Oh, my. under two segments here. So segment one is just what we went through, kind of a what's the landscape, what's this current environment, trade, tariffs, Brexit, some of these big things that are really impacting the end-to-end supply chain space. And now we're going to shift gears and talk about some of the things that we can do to help mitigate the risk, help protect our margins, maybe even increase profitability during 2019 and beyond. So we've got two outstanding subject matter experts teed up on the second segment of Supply Chain Radio today. So we're going to reintroduce and welcome back Laura Matajewski, CPA, and Ileana Malinov, CPA as well. So Ileana and Laura, well, good morning again.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning.
As I'm checking the clock, make sure we're still before noon here, but given all that we've discussed and a variety of other economic factors, that it's just a really busy start of the year, we're going to dive into what you should be doing for your business in 2019, right?
Absolutely.
All right. And I'm glad that you are going to be sharing those best practices and I don't have to, because I would not be able to help our viewers much there. So I believe, let's see, we've got a series of questions kind of we're going to be walking through and posing to business owners. But I think the first question, Laura, is we want to focus in, what are your strategies, Mr. and Ms. Business Owner, for 2019? And if your strategy, first off, includes growth and expansion, what's some ideas and some things to keep on our radar there?
Absolutely, Scott. Well, I think especially trending back from 2018 and even late 2017, we've been seeing businesses starting to loosen up the cash that they had. They're really considering their options out there, investing in a lot of growth strategies to enhance their presence, not only here for the businesses that we work with in the Southeast, but, we work with companies nationally and, all around the globe. So within that structure, though, we've been seeing a lot of investment on the equipment side, really kind of reconfiguring and retooling what they're doing and how to take advantage of, I think we've said technology multiple times today, and that's just a word that's going to continue to be extremely relevant. So finding new opportunities to enhance what they're doing, integrating in the robots that we all thought were going to take over all of the human capital, but finding the ways to really take advantage of the growing workforce that's coming into, especially in the manufacturing and distribution supply chain segment, bringing in those young people that are hungry and designing new ways to bring that product to market with a lot of initiative and excitement there. And especially through all of that, when you're buying large pieces of equipment, you're also looking at, is the size of space that you're working in right now, is that really fitting your needs? Mm. So something out there that we've also been seeing a lot of is, where am I located now? How strategic am I truly being in this? looking at the logistics and what it costs to get that in. I mean, we all have seen the continued rise in the imports and exports out of the Savannah port. That's just no, I don't think that's a surprise to anybody.
One of the fastest growing ports in the world.
Absolutely, absolutely. Super proud to be here in the state of Georgia. So, but from that perspective too, there have been openings for clarification on opportunity zones, ways to move your business and invest in those areas to grow it and take advantage of the tax savings there, offset things that you hadn't thought of before, and actually bring your business to an area where you're going to gain an even bigger workforce potential. So again, the third part that I really think of there is on the personnel side, investing in that human capital. And I'm not going to steal Ileana's thunder because she's going to get to talk about the incentives there, but each one of those areas all has incentives and drivers under the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act and things that have been in existence, but we just don't we're not thinking about it. We've heard about it before, but it's just not forefront in our mind. And what do we want to do? We want to make more money and we want to pay less to the government, right?
That's right. Well, you know, Laura, speaking on your last point there, you know, whether you're in small business or if you're at Fortune 500 companies, you got so much work to do and so much brain power just to get the product out or get it made or get it moved or whatever it is. So we don't, a lot of folks don't stop to really understand all of these other whole different
strategy,
long-term
and,
strategies,
and complexity, resources that are really complex that you have to dive in, understand, and figure out what's applicable. And that's that's one of the values with working with accounting firms and advisory firms like HLB Gross Collins, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because I think, you know, we all, the power of Google and everything else, you know, there's a lot of information out there. But how do you properly disseminate that and get the right answers for your business? There is no cookie cutter solution. You really have to stop and think and talk with those that have this subject matter expertise and figure out what is the right solution for you. And there are, like we talked about earlier, so many opportunities between what's happening on a global scale, how to consider the popularity of the whole drive of we want to bring the business and we want to bring the manufacturing back into the state of Georgia, into the U.S. So what are the steps that we're taking towards doing that?
Yep.
I think it's key for any size business to identify what's material to move your specific set of characteristics to your goal, you know.
Absolutely.
I think that's where you can add value.
Absolutely, yeah. So not only just talking about the investment from the perspective of the things that I just mentioned along, physical property, human capital, and really where are you operating out of? Where should you consider to also be adding some presence for your business as well, too? I think that is another driver that's really become the forefront for many organizations that have hit that point where they're like, wow, I didn't realize I could really grow from A to S right now. And then they're seeing Z in the future, and then they want to know what comes past Z. So being able to plan accordingly for that, just from the perspective.
What does come past Z?
I'm not at liberty to divulge that at this time.
You can move to the Cyrillic alphabet.
That's right. You have to send us an invoice for you to disclose that, right?
I will. But in general, though, that's the thing is there are so many organizations that don't really know how to take all these great ideas and tie them into the new incentives, figure out what they're doing now, and does that really still work for them? And then all of these different opportunities out there, not just from a federal level, but also from a state perspective. There's actually a really great brochure out there under the Georgia Department of Economic Development. It's a 24-page glossy thing that allows you to actually kind of read through from the layman's terms and hear about several of the things that Ileana is going to get a chance to talk about, like the opportunity zones, like R&D tax credits, jobs and workforce tax credits, retraining credits, abatement on property taxes, all of these multitudes of things, port tax credits. Mm-hmm. I mean, the list goes on and on and on.
And we're going to dive into a lot of that stuff in just a minute. So, Ileana, you got a lot of pressure. We're teeing you up as a cleanup hitter here. So, but before we get into that, let me go back to one thing. You're talking about robots and the threats of it taking over, because there's such this hysteria out there. And what I want to share something real quick Chris Barber was on the show. He is president of Great Orange, which is doing big things for, I think, their southeastern region. And they've coined this term cobots. You know, basically robots that come in and work alongside the workforce, make their jobs easier. It allows them opportunities to move into more engaging roles at times. So it's really neat to hear a company really acknowledge that challenge out there from a perception standpoint, yeah. Engage it, and kind of flip it on its head a little bit.
Cobot, in warehousing, what do you call the machines you put on that help you lift? It's a skeleton. Isn't it like a skeletal exoskeleton?
Yeah,
we'll go with that. I believe so.
Right, and they help you. So they are like a cobot because you put it on and it helps reduce injuries and accelerate productivity.
And reduce fatigue and probably reduce injuries. And it makes for a more enjoyable day at work at the end of the day, right?
So I hadn't heard cobot. That's cool.
Yeah, I think it is neat. Kathy, were you going to weigh in on something related to the cobots there or robots?
No, I've heard that term before. Okay. So I think it's really fascinating. I mean, there's a number of the logistics providers that are offering cobots. Mm. And so it's really cool to see, and it hopefully will lessen the concern that people have about the robots taking over the world.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And you can't talk about this subject matter without talking about how tough it is to find good talent. In peak season, distribution centers were fighting for folks come in and do everything that they've got to do to pick and ship order. So,
and the pressure it puts on pricing, going back to the finance topic. Mm-hmm. I mean, the wages are just inflation.
Raise your hand if you're a consumer and you're willing to pay more for a product because of talent or other issues. Uh-huh. So, but anyway, so sorry to make that little detour, Laura, but I want to come back now before we hit some of these tax tools and talk again about financing and investment. And if that's your top priority, here in 2019, what should be, what should these leaders be thinking about?
Absolutely. Yeah. And, it's really a fantastic time now, I think, in the marketplace. Of course, we all just heard about the BB&T and SunTrust merger. Mm-hmm. And I'm just curious as to know what the name of the organization is going to be after that.
Yeah. So are the Braves.
Yes. Thank you.
About to say that.
Bobby Cox Stadium. I mean, we got, or Chipper Jones Field or something. I don't know.
There you go. But yeah. So from that perspective, businesses are really revisiting, do they have the right financing structure? Many of them that I work with in the manufacturing industry have a line of credit with a substantial borrowing base in there that feeds off of their receivables and their inventory. And they're reevaluating based on what they're doing right now to consider the impact of the tariffs. And I mean, some of them, even though it's a large number, we're talking maybe a couple million dollars out of something, say like $60-70 million of revenue. Yeah, it's not a big percentage, but it's enough that, again, where you mentioned about price changing and things like that, what do we do to pass that on so that we're then not impacting our workforce with that type of thing? But yeah, on the financing side, we're looking at what are your current plans in there? Should you really be putting out cash versus considering entering into an agreement on some large investments in equipment? Do you have personal guarantees on your loan? Is it time to revisit that? Where is your business sitting right now? And is that really necessary anymore? Something that's nice with a line of credit, with a borrowing base on there, then that your assets alone are kind of speaking for you. So that works in your favor. You get to take things like that off of there. Again, the bankers can certainly speak to that to a lot more detail from my perspective, those are the types of questions that we're getting. Also looking at the customer base and how many of them we're selling out of the country to versus bringing in. And through that aspect as well, how many of them have international ties through parent organizations? So all of those feed into each other where you can take advantage of through your banking perspective and revisiting what you're getting there. And are you, all the fees that you're paying for, are you getting the value that's needed there? Yeah. Looking at how do you reprice foreign invoices to take advantage of, currency fluctuations. So that's just several items there that you really want to consider. But outside of that, what I find a lot that people just kind of go, I have it, it's fine, it's good. But from an investment standpoint of investing in your people, what is it that you're doing with your benefit plans that you offer to your people? Because, of course, from the financing perspective earlier, what I was mentioning that I forgot to toss in there was interest rates are still at a really great point. Mm. And I know under the tax reform, there were some changes in there to reduce some of those opportunities to deduct some interest. But I think, again, the offset is the value of bringing that equipment in and the cash flows that you can receive from it. So it becomes a no-brainer there, but that's certainly something we want to consider. Outside of that, though, on the benefits perspective, when you talk about what are you doing to finance your people in-house, that's when you really want to look at the benefit plans you're offering. And what I really mean there is actually like your 401k plans, your contribution plans. Everybody, I mean, we're facing such an outflux of individuals that are ready for retirement. What have you been doing with that plan? Have you really checked your wheelhouse there on that? And that's another area that I work extensively with to make sure, are you investing in the right things you should be? I'm not an investment advisor, but in the sense of, are you working with the right tools and people for that front? Because there's some great opportunities out there for you to enhance your tax deductibility through things like safe harbor plans and additional abilities to have your people do catch-up contributions, et cetera, all to their benefit. And when they receive those benefits, then you receive the benefit back.
Yep. And we're going to shift gears over into Ileana's subject matter here. We're going to get some great tips and tricks. But I'm assuming, Laura, that y'all work a lot together since you lead the manufacturing distribution practice here at the firm, right?
Absolutely. In fact, I think we've joked our offices sit next door that maybe we should just cut a hole in the wall.
There's a great intersection between manufacturing and distribution and international here in Atlanta. We've become such a global city, supply chain city.
Absolutely.
A lot of data, fintech. There's so many great things going on in Atlanta. A couple of things to Laura's point about financing and how we can add value. How do you do a cash flow projection for your bank for the next 5 years when you're dealing with all of these tariffs?
Uncertainty.
How do you analyze your customer base and the level of the exports when we are in a trade war? And if we put a 25% tariff on European autos, we are going to get a tariff. How many major customers are you going to lose? So we try to be a sounding board and to help our clients build these models so that they can achieve financing, so that they can create a true story and a picture, because you still have to turn on the lights every day.
That's right.
You know, uncertainty is really not
make
excuse.
The donuts.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So speaking of that, so we're going to talk about with Ileana here, we're going to talk about some of the tax planning best practices that you think a lot of organizations may be missing. Or they may just simply not be on their radar. So talk to us about some of those things.
Sure. So the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, no big deal. The biggest tax reform in the last 30 years. And guess what? There's been continuous talk about Tax 2.0 if we do have some kind of change in administration. So maybe it's not a bad thing. We haven't kind of gotten grasp of everything that the first act came with, because there may be a second one coming. Who knows?
Wow.
But the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act really overhauled a lot of things, and the IRS shutdown didn't help in terms of us getting guidance. So rather than focusing on what's new, I would like to just leave our listeners with one tidbit. It depends significantly on your individual situation. There's so many things and so many moving pieces that changed that it is very difficult to recommend a best practice right now, because everything is dependent on individual circumstances. Are you a domestic company, or are you trying to be a global company? Are you a service business, or are you, you know, in manufacturing and distribution of product? So just talk with your advisors and know that things are changing and things are uncertain, and we are just doing the best we can.
So I should you've given me a thought here, Ileana. Okay. Maybe we should put out a disclaimer to our audience that this should not be construed as legal or professional advice in any way, shape, or form. It's knowledge, I think, what we're about to go into with Ileana. It's great information to be aware of. And then, of course, you can go out and find, you can give HLB Gross Collins a call, or go out and use Google, as Laura mentioned earlier, find out more about it. But anyway, I'm halfway kidding, but I thought
no,
I'd just
like
put that
when,
on the front end.
I like when I'm not the one who has to say it. This is not tax advice, because if I say it, it kind of sounds like I'm, you know, affecting my credibility.
Right,
so thank
right.
you for doing that for me.
You're the SME for sure.
So I'd like to talk a little bit about the incentives that really did not come from the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. Those have been long-term standing incentives on the federal level and also here at the state level in Georgia. These are things that you can consider for the current year, or if it's the right opportunity, some of these incentives you're able to claim back a couple of years and continue planning on forward. There's thousands of federal incentives. Obviously, not all of them are relevant to you, but did you know that the state of Georgia has 44 tax credits? credits to take advantage of. That's a lot of credits. Maybe some of them are $500 and you don't think that they're material. But if you try to do a comprehensive study of all the benefits that are possibly out there, and they're often interrelated, the amounts start to add up. And most importantly, that's available cash flow. Mm. You don't have to go do an investment. You don't have to spend a dollar to make 30 cents. This is just truly benefits that the state has put together for our businesses. Georgia has continuously been ranked number one or in the top five, depending on which statistic you look at, for just the climate of doing business here. And tax credits and incentives are a big part of it. So I'd like to start with the research and development credit. Mm. This is a credit for increasing research and development activity that is on the federal level, but Georgia takes it a step further by also making it a credit at the state level. Mm. You don't have to have a lab. You don't have to have scientists.
A misnomer a bit, isn't it?
There's a lot of things that fall into research and development activity. It's really any company that designs, develops, improves products, processes, techniques, formulas, inventions. I mean, there's just, we live in the age of innovation. Exactly. Who doesn't do that, right?
Especially just focusing on one thing you mentioned, the improvement. I mean, what organization is not trying to improve on products, processes, or some component of their operation? It sounds like if they are, they should at least kick the tires on this thing, right?
I think that everybody should. Unless you are clearly in market research, sorry, Kathy, consumer knowledge, products, if you're trying to gauge the market and you know, to come ahead out of the competitors, then this is in the more of the softer studies. Gotcha. But if you are in the hard sciences, then there's definitely continuous improvement in almost any business. And there's a lot of great companies out there that we team with that will be happy to do a complementary analysis that really have seen, based on the different industries, where you can maximize your savings. So we have this credit both on the federal level and on the state level. And the great thing about it is, if you think that you're in a loss position and you don't want to spend money because you're currently not paying any tax, certain credits can also be credited against your payroll tax liability. And again, that's free cash flow for you. Mm-hmm. Another incentive.
That's not bad.
Who doesn't
want free cash flow?
Another incentive that has been around for for the past several years, and unfortunately it's uncertain regarding 2018, is the 179D deduction. Atlanta is a city where we have a lot of building, right? We build housing, we build commercial buildings, we build high rises. If you are building a building that qualifies based on energy improvements for the building envelope, the HVAC system, the interior lighting system, if you're trying to be green and you meet these certain qualifications, then there's tax benefits for you. So if you run this analysis ahead of time, maybe you can achieve both. You can be green, you can save money, or you will do a cost benefit on your project, and everybody's going to choose to go green if it doesn't cost them extra, right?
You call this a one, what'd you call?
This is called 179D deduction.
Okay.
It should not be confused with the regular Section 179 deduction that a lot of business folks know about that has to do with just expensing your equipment.
Gotcha.
We also have another incentive called the cost segregation study. Again, this is targeting owners of real estate. You want to take a look at your building and together with a qualified engineer, following what the Internal Revenue Code prescribes, which I know is super boring and also tedious and to a certain extent convoluted.
I read it every night before I go to bed.
It is excellent for that. If more people knew about it, some of the pharmaceutical companies may have trouble. But what a cost segregation study does in simplistic terms is it looks at your building and it tries to separate what the real property is, the building, and what the tangible personal property is, which means all of these improvements that you add, like lighting and fixtures that are specific to your business, that are movable, tangible property, because you can accelerate your deductions. And again, accelerated deductions, more available cash, right? Further, shifting gears from buildings, we made a couple of comments here about the tone of the new administration and trying to bring in manufacturing in the United States, trying to keep intangible property in the United States. So there's a lot of export incentives right now that are built into the tax code. You may have heard about the ICDISC, which was a interest charge domestic selling corporation, where basically you would get rewarded for having qualified export sales of qualified U.S. property. So that incentive is still alive and well, and most of the U.S. companies who are manufacturing here qualified export property know about it and they take advantage of it. It is not only for the big guys, so if it sounds like something that you do and you don't know what I'm talking about, we'll be happy to help, or there's a lot of information available out there. But there's a new incentive also that is called the Foreign-Derived Intangible Income Deduction, which means that if you are a U.S. corporation and you're exporting goods or services outside of the U.S., you get a special tax rate for the income associated with that export. It doesn't even have to be U.S. property. That condition is not included. Now, we don't have final regulations on that section, and there's some talk about the World Trade Organization seeing this as an illegal subsidy to U.S. businesses and all this other crazy stuff. But right now it exists. So we as tax preparers are in a very interesting position to advise our clients how to claim this on the 2018 tax return. A lot of uncertainty in all aspects of what we do.
Well, so if you're a manufacturer or distributor or, well, let's just stop there. And, of course, there's all these opportunities. I'm curious about y'all's approach when you sit down with a CFO or CEO or whatever that typical initial meeting is with. Do you go through and kind of do a checkup or an assessment at a very high level and then kind of check the box on what we need to dive deeper into?
So I think every time that we are introduced to a new business, we try to take the time and understand what they do on the front end. We try to understand the structure. We try to understand the source of revenue, the transactions, really what is the business doing, what is the business involved. And we hear certain keywords. And then we try to flow chart the entire enterprise and just brainstorm with the team, with the leadership team, and then from there, all kinds of different opportunities arise. We also do it for our existing clients on a regular basis because things change. So you can see certain triggers hourly, right?
Yes.
So you can see certain triggers. For example, payroll went up. A new company was acquired. A lot of equipment was put in place. Then you start thinking about, okay, more equipment. This means more people. These more people had to be trained. Oh my gosh, Georgia has a Georgia retraining tax credit. And that's kind of how the process naturally happens. Through continuous education of our team who works with the clients, we try to identify these opportunities for them.
So we were chatting earlier, and I think it's my understanding as a non-tax or CPA expert, if when you sit down with these business owners and they have past activities in past tax years, especially significant ones, they can go back, refile, and claim these credits from past years, right?
It's on a credit-by-credit basis. Some things you can go back and refile. Some things you can just catch up in the current year, and other things are only prospective. It just really depends.
So when you are sitting down, you're uncovering not just the current, where they are and where they're headed, but also
where they've been.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay. All Absolutely. Right. So we're going to open up the conversation. So thank you, Ileana. It sounds like, again, if you make stuff, move stuff, you name it, if you're an industry, you've got to really be checking out these federal and state tax incentives. And the best way to do that, just my humble advice, is to work with someone that really gets it and knows the loopholes, knows the law, knows as things are changing by the hour. They're going to help you keep certain things on your radar that should be on your radar. So no commercial there, but I've been using an accountant for 15 years and it's really kept our nose clean. So all right, so I want to open up the conversation here, Elba. We want to open up the conversation here, and we want to kind of ask everybody at the table, what do y'all see coming down the pipeline? You know, whether it's, you know, credits or tax, tariff, the Brexit word, you name it. And Kathy, I'm going to circle back to you. You know, what do you think is going to be, a big story in the months to come?
Well, certainly the B word.
All together now, Brexit. There you go.
Whether or not the UK exits or stays or they extend this discussion.
Can we place a bet now on that?
Yes.
And just see who's
okay.
right?
So, Ileana, what do you think?
I don't think they're going to exit.
Mm. Okay.
How certain, if you had to give a percentage?
Well, we don't really work with percentages. I can say more likely than not.
Yes, yes.
I'm going to be
an audience.
I'm with Ileana. I think more mm-hmm. likely than not yeah. that they will not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Likewise here as well, too. Everything that I've seen, it doesn't show that things are going to actually change. So, no. But yeah, I am also, it's the accountant in me. I do the more looser terms of more likely than not than say, I bet you X amount of dollars. So, because I don't like to gamble. It's just...
Scott, what do you think?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. So I think it's really challenging because the person in the meat that's been in the manufacturing space or serving that space and knowing some of the complexities that we all know sitting at this table, if they do leave, it is going to be, if we think it's tough now, mm-hmm. it kind of falls off the table. Not that, hey, supply chain will make it happen regardless, mm-hmm. right?
We're agile, right?
That's right.
Exactly.
And regardless what happens, the variables will become constants and then it'll be the new normal. We'll just figure out how to make it happen. But with all that said, I really wish we had had some of these franker conversations before the government side and the referendum side. And you know, because we all want, you know, those of us that live in democratic forms of government, we want to, you know, the people to be heard. So it's really a, you know, I don't know what's going to happen, but I do. The only thing I do know is if the UK were to exit, our world's going to get a lot tougher. So.
I agree.
Hopefully that's a good
more
non-answer.
More job security.
Yeah.
Right? For these fields
for the
here, right?
Transportation,
absolutely. Accountants.
Yeah. That's a great way. Alba, I like that positive way of looking at it. So.
Yeah.
Kathy, what do you think?
I think they're going to end up extending their talks.
That's a great, yeah.
With the EU. And I think there will be a change for the UK. I don't think it'll be what everybody expects. Mm. I think.
Maybe a softer.
I think it's going to be a softer one. There's been a lot of talk that they may take the approach of a Denmark or something. You know, stay but
right.
not stay.
Yeah.
Kinda.
Do you think there's going to be another referendum?
No. Mm. No, I don't think so. I also think that tariffs are probably here to stay. Whether or not we get the 25%, knock on wood, we don't. Mm. I don't think so. I think we've got tariffs for a while.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Mm. Well, what,
will they at least be consistent?
No, of course not.
They'll make it too easy?
No, because out of chaos comes opportunity. Mm. How about that? Think
That's
of it that way.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
So what, and there might not be an answer to this question, but you know, kind of finishing up the Brexit point here. What is the ramification for the U.S. Manufacturing, distribution, supply chain community that maybe is not getting talked about enough, especially if the U.K. leaves, but just in general, related to Brexit, what are we not giving enough attention to? Anybody?
The logistics aspect is still in question,
mm-hmm.
still in flux. I think for U.S. manufacturers, I think they need to have a plan if they don't have one in place. And I don't see a lot of that discussion going on.
So is it, to be fair, sorry to interject here, but, you know, I think the consensus is that UK is not leaving, right? It's not leaving the EU. I think that's the consensus, I believe.
Not a hard exit, maybe.
Right.
Yeah, something
I think
softer.
It'll be some.
Yeah.
Okay.
Something will
listen
happen.
To the expert.
Yes.
Quick was saying that they are not, that they are leaving.
I think they're going to leave, but it's going to be different.
Okay. All right.
Like Elba says, I think it's going to be a more softer.
Okay.
They're still going to have ties to the EU because their trade.
Okay.
That's their largest trade partner.
So and like a hybrid. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to come up with a new term. We're going to have to break in hybrid to Brexit and to Brexit or something. I don't know. But that's an interesting point because it doesn't have to be white or black.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We're practical people. Hopefully we can work it out.
But I do think that organizations back to your point about what are they not doing or talking about, they need to prepare for how they're going to implement, you know, all the technology within their, they're going to have to recode so many things and how, is, you know, what's their project plan on that?
Yeah, the whole customs. union is an absolute mess.
Right, back to the harmonized tariff
schedule.
Where's Chris Barnes when we need him? So to our audience, it's funny. Chris Barnes was here in the prep show. Chris is president and executive director with Apex Atlanta. And he brought in, of course, they're one of our great sponsors. He brought in a lot of terms from the Apex Body Knowledge and Dictionary. And they're literally on a whiteboard behind us. And we've been wanting to weave these into a conversation, right? Because, you know, no commercial, but if you're a supply chain practitioner, the body of knowledge and the certifications adds a great way to kind of become more learned on a lot of what we're talking about today. So kidding aside, thanks for Chris. Big shout out. But circling back, so the it's interesting with the succession planning and continuity planning, which is a kind of a cliche word these days, but it needs to be happening. You know, we always talk about, well, what if insert name here gets hit by a bus? What do you do? Well, with Brexit or whatever we're going to call it, whatever happens, it's like, what if your current normal steps out and gets hit by a bus? You know, and what I'm hearing from Kathy is companies really in the U.S. aren't really planning for those scenarios. Would you?
I don't think a lot of them have that. One thing that I harp on a lot is the need for supply chain risk management. Mm. You need to be prepared for that whole what if, yep. Whether it's Brexit, whether it's tariffs, whether it's an earthquake or what have you, because the supply chain is global.
That's right.
Your manufacturing facility could be sitting over in Thailand or Japan, and an earthquake hits or flood hits, and it's like, oh my gosh, you know, where else can I go? You
That's
know,
right.
Who's going to pick up the slack while we get this fixed?
Mm.
So, I mean, Brexit is just another part of that whole risk of doing business. Tariffs are as well. You've got to have that what if plan in place.
But it's a very real upcoming event for for a lot of and from experience, for a lot of our clients, the UK was the port of entry to entire Europe.
Exactly.
Warehousing, yeah. VAT, tariffs, duties, it was all handled in the UK, and then you would leave wherever the final destination is. And now they have to consider other options. I know Portugal is doing great programs. The Netherlands has always been in competition for the same business with the UK. And companies with large European market share need to start paying attention to their supply chain.
I agree.
Well, great discussion on Brexit. Really tough topic to kind of weave into a, you know, an hour and 15-minute discussion. But appreciate y'all's perspective on that. But before we leave and before we kind of move into wrap-up, Let's get some other, you know, we're kind of asking the question, what else is coming down the pipeline? Any other want to weigh in, Laura?
Yeah. I think something we've probably been hearing out from the accounting kind of guidance, we call them the quote unquote gods out there, that we've all been having to deal with. And I'm sure the terminology of revenue recognition, lease standards, things like that, that has hopefully been the norm, especially for public companies. We do focus on private companies, and it is just as equally important. The revenue side, it's effective now for 2019. So it's our responsibility and working with you to really guide you through that whole kind of revenue stream of what's happening out there. And we're hopeful when it comes down to it, this is putting you on the same basis point for the most part as our international reporting entities. So that's going to give more streamlining. So you're seeing apples to apples. But we're hopeful what it means for several of the companies is that you actually get to recognize your revenues faster.
Mm. Laura, you mentioned something in earlier we were talking that the way you set up and design contracts is really important and strategic in getting a better outcome on the revenue recognition.
Absolutely. All of those deliverables you have in there, it's really kind of picking those apart and seeing what are you clarifying in there? What do you have to do from your side? What are you asking your customer to accept there? And it can be something as loose as being an oral conversation. We always prefer, of course, written. I think it's just better the written word. But it's really focusing on that, talking with the accountants and determining what we can and can't do there. And then really from a legal perspective as well, too, making sure that gets harmonized into your agreement. So it's a great opportunity. It's here. We can't ignore it. And another item coming down the pipeline as well, too, is all about the whole leasing world. Many of our companies lease massive amounts of equipment to facilitate their operations. Those now starting for private companies in 2020, those have to get put on your books as assets. Yeah. I mean, you're effectively using those to make sure that your company runs appropriately. So the word right to use asset has been thrown around a lot, and that's what's going to be happening there from that perspective. It's really showing all of the assets of your business and what it takes to truly run it. How do you invest in it? How do you make it grow? So those are going to be some big changes. The banks have been working very closely with the CPA world on that as well, too, because from a financing perspective, that changes a lot. You know, what's going to be sitting out there? What's going to be actually jacking up your liabilities? Mm-hmm. And how do you take that now, what was rental income, and repurpose that to what it now needs to be? So you're really talking about a lot of depreciable assets that are going to be changing your books. But they're all for the better. It's really it's letting you and I, from our perspective, and those in the quote-unquote outside world, get a better understanding of what's happening out there. With
transparency of underlying business performance.
Mm. That's correct. That's correct.
So I'd like to weigh in on the talent side. So, you know, Talent Stream is a sponsor of Supply Chain Now Radio, and Talent Stream team has a lot of conversations with companies looking for supply chain talent, you know, thousands over the last 3 years to start with. And, you know, what we're seeing is two big things. And Elba, you put it in a nutshell. It is not just job security with today and what's ahead, but there's so much growth, whether it's logistics, whether it's true, you know, supply chain management, if it's transportation, if it's manufacturing. There's so much opportunity. And I think all of us around this table might could agree on this, is that the amount of awareness that we have in our schools, while some schools and some systems are doing well and really tackling that and really making sure they plant those seeds of opportunity and awareness with even elementary students, generally speaking, it is such a huge gap. And we wonder why we're sitting here, you know, war for talent, and companies are fighting for DC workers, and that's just one sliver of it. So first off, ton of opportunity. And then secondly, there are so many companies that finally have kind of had the epiphany, and they really want to find true proven supply chain management talent expertise in a variety of roles. And so there's newfound heightened levels of competition, which are probably going to get even more intense in the years to come, regardless of some of these things we've talked about today. So if you are a business owner, and don't take this from a recruiting firm, I mean, you can do the research. There's a ton of salary and comp insights out there. You're not going to be able to pay on the cheap for supply chain talent and expect the best. I mean, that old adage, which I think we can all subscribe to, you pay for what you get, right? There's no free lunches. Top talent, folks that come in and can lead supply chains, you're going to have to pay for that talent and not expect it to, you know, take an offer that you throw. So really interesting talent market that we've seen.
You know, Scott, being the chair of the APICS Gender Gap Task Force, I have to put a plug in for thinking of your talent in terms of diverse talent as well. You know, we talked about opportunities and growth, innovation. If you want to really find the best ideas, you have got to get out of your comfort zone and go look for pools of talent that just don't look like you.
That's right.
I gave a presentation the other day, and we talked about, you know, expanding your pool and looking in different places to find different kinds of people. And I related it back to baseball and the way scouts go out and look all over the place for the best talent, right? So a talking point or a nugget to remember is be a scout. How can you be a scout to go find talent that is diverse?
Absolutely. Great point. And, you know, I know we're in wrap up here and it would keep getting longer. So much good stuff. But our host, I know I was on their website. This is not something we talked about, but put you on the spot here. Your firm, HLB Gross Collins, has been recognized as, I want to say, a top 30 most diverse organization. All right, so y'all help me out here. What's that diversity?
Absolutely. Yeah, I know. I think just from in general, our industry has always been very male dominated. And the the individuals that we see now, part of the encouragement we really have outside of just growing our long-term succession plan is we've been fortunate enough to see quite a shift in our female leadership as well, too. That's not, you know, tooting my own horn, and of course Ileana over here as well, too. But, you know, and that's some really exciting times for us. So we really encourage through mentoring approaches with our team and with others that are looking to get into the field. There are some really excellent opportunities here. So, and a specialty focus in my area as well, too, is with women-owned businesses.
Oh.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yay. So, kudos to Kathy down here as well. So, but yeah, that's just something else that we just feel very important here in our industry is to continue to feed that.
And we also speak 17 languages.
Ooh.
Very
wow.
diverse.
Man.
Including...
including Bulgaria.
Okay. So what a neat note to finish on. Want to really thank all of our guests. I hate the carve out the or kind of come to a conclusion here. So much good stuff to talk about. A lot of kindred spirits in the room. Appreciate y'all being here. So we want to thank our guest, Kathy Morrow Robertson, founder and head analyst of Logistics Trends and Insights LLC. And Kathy, if anyone wants to find out more information on what you do and your company and needs that help, where do they go?
Well, they can visit the website at www.logisticsti.com, or you can always find me out on social.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we're talking with, actually, I think Kathy was inducted into the Twitter Hall of Fame just a couple weeks ago.
It feels like.
No, I really enjoy. I enjoy following you. I enjoy your insights. I like your data-driven approach oftentimes because, you know, I'm always looking for not necessarily the 17-page diatribe of what to share, but just in a nice little paragraph, data point. I mean, I like how easy you make that.
Oh, well, thank you. We're out on Twitter. My handle is CMRoberson06, or the company's is LogisticsTI. We're also out on LinkedIn as well, so... we carry on the conversation there.
Terrific.
Also.
So if you're craving end-to-end supply chain analytics, insight, data, observations, you name it, check out Kathy Morrow Robinson via a variety of social media channels. So glad to have you here today.
Thank you.
Laura Matajewski and Ileana Malinov, both CPAs. Laura serves as manufacturing and distribution practice leader at HLB Gross Collins. You're also a principal in the organization. Ileana serves as director of tax services and international practice leader. I don't know how y'all getting sleep at night based on all of what's on your plate, but really appreciate y'all taking time to share. And really, I thought, despite how complex the topics y'all brought up, I thought you did a great job bringing it down to layman's terms so that folks like me can understand it and hopefully see the light and want to have an exploratory conversation. So to learn more about HLB Gross Collins, where do we go?
You go to hlbgrosscollins.com, GrossCollins.com. So very easily, we always pop up at the top in Google. And then also you can reach out to us through Twitter, Facebook, and then especially on LinkedIn. We're very active there sharing insight and information. And I would love to hear more from those out in the audience as well, too. Please feel free to reach out to me and connect there. Same with Ileana. We're always happy to talk to you and hear more and see what we can do to help each other.
Terrific. Thanks so much, Laura. And Ileana, any final words before we move to...
Thank you for having us. It was a pleasure to host you here in our office. We love that you enjoyed the environment and the conversation, and we'll be happy to be of assistance for any other needs or questions.
Thanks so much. Really appreciate you both, and big thanks again to HLB Gross Collins. I was thinking Dave Holland. You got me thinking baseball now, Elba. HLB Gross Collins, who's been serving clients locally, nationally, and internationally for over 50 years. So thank you to that, to both of you. Elba, we're going to kind of wrap up today, and we're going to talk about some upcoming events before we sign off. And we want to thank Elba Perha-Gallagher with Show Me 50 and UPS and Apex Atlanta for taking time out of our Saturday morning to serve as my co-host. So, Elba, we're going to start with, you've got a really neat event coming up, a lean-in event with Show Me 50. Tell us more about it.
Yeah, so February 26th, mark your calendars. It's a Monday evening, 6:15 to 8:30. We're doing a workshop called LEGO Serious Play. And if you haven't heard of this before, there's a trained facilitator who comes to the large group, and we play with Legos, basically. And the point, and by the way, of course, we'll have wine and appetizers, so that makes it more fun. But ding, basically, ding, ding. It teaches you how to solve complex problems faster by engaging your teams in interesting and unique ways. And we're going to be learning how to solve all kinds of problems, including how do we increase the representation of women in leadership at companies across America.
So it's going to be a neat event, not to be missed event. My wife and I are both going to be there. Amanda and I are going to be there. We've got a babysitter, which we're awesome. So excited about. So if you have kids, find a babysitter. Come on out. These Leaning Circles, I've been to several of them, big fans. Elba does great work leading these a lot of these discussions, these challenging discussions for APICS Atlanta. And she does so in a very, much like hopefully you heard today, very engaging, friendly. All points of view are welcomed, right?
That's right.
So
everyone's welcome, and it's really just a fun time.
Fun time. So come on out, and you can learn more at showme50.org, right?
Yep. Go to the events page, and you'll see what we have coming up.
And you can also find Elba on Twitter and LinkedIn and Facebook, probably Instagram. I don't know.
Yeah, we do. Hey, one more plug real quick. Yeah. I'm getting involved with an organization called the CFO Roundtable. It's part of the executive education program in the Terry College at the University of Georgia. And we are working closely on a women's initiative. And I would love to hear from women in finance who are interested in joining me.
And is it Elba at showme50.org? Is that the best?
That's it. Elba at showme50.org.
ELBA at showme50.org. And 50 is actually the numeral. So showme50.org. So
show reach me out. 50% women leading.
That's right. And so good stuff there. Thanks for joining us, Elba. Some final announcements here. Atlanta Supply Chain Awards, we talked about extensively. You can sign up for the March 12th luncheon at AtlantaSupplyChainAwards.com. What a nice, easy, simple URL. Big thanks to UPS for coming on recently as host sponsor. We also had Arnall, Golden, and Gregory come on as a host sponsor here recently, as well as Spend Management Experts, which we're all excited to have all those join us. The Georgia Logistics Summit. In fact, that week, March 11th, is going to be the newly renamed, we need to petition the governor, Supply Chain Week here in the state of Georgia. So we got the Supply Chain Awards on the 12th. You have the Georgia Logistics Summit on March 14th. It's going to be up in Cartersville. It's going to be focused in on the inland port strategy, which is not just resonating well here in Georgia, but really it's successful across the country. You can learn more about the Georgia Logistics Summit at galogisticssummit.com. And Supply Chain Now Radio is very pleased to serve as a sponsor this year. We are also proud media partners of EFT's 3PL and Supply Chain Summit coming to Atlanta on June 10th through the 12th. Home run lineup of speakers, Land O'Lakes, Uber Freight, Cisco, DHL Supply Chain, many more. Check out EFT.com for more information. Whether it's this event or anything else you heard here today, you can send us a note. If you can't find what you're looking for, send us a note to Scott, S-C-O-T-T, at supplychainnowradio.com. We'll get you the info. We'll shoot you a link. We'll get you connected to whomever you're trying to connect with. We're here to serve as a resource. And we hope to be broadcasting live from the EFT event in June. More to come here, but we're glad to have them and all these great supply chain leaders here in Atlanta, the hashtag Supply Chain City. Big thanks again to our host, HLB Gross Collins. Be sure to check out our other upcoming events, replays of interviews, other resources at supplychainnowradio.com. You can also check us out on iTunes and SoundCloud. Be sure to subscribe. We love our subscribers, so you don't miss anything. On behalf of Elba, Malcolm, and the research team, the whole Supply Chain Now Radio community, this is Scott Luton wishing you a wonderful weekend, and we will see you next time. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Supply Chain Now Radio. To listen to more episodes, check us out on YouTube, Facebook, iTunes, SoundCloud, or supplychainnowradio.com. And if you're interested in advancing your career, team building exercises, or simply satisfying your intellectual curiosity, check out an APICS certification workshop at apicsatlanta.org. Until then, I look forward to seeing you at an event. Thanks for learning.